Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Continue to yell at you, even though now I can hear you completely fine.
Okay. My cat hear you? I don't have a cat.
The quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog?
Is it brown?
Is it quick?
It's got to be brown, otherwise there's no W in there.
I have seen, well, a number of red foxes, not to mention the, well, the old school comedian actor, Red Fox.
Sidebar.
I'll have a Jameson neat, make it double.
What color are the eggs in green, or what color is the ham in green eggs and ham?
Green.
Are you sure?
Yes. Okay. It happens to be in an illustrated book.
Okay.
And in the illustration in that book, the yolk, but not the white, of the eggs is green.
Okay.
Which I have no idea how to do that.
And that's how you're making your determination?
And the ham is also green.
Therefore. I thought the yolk was yellow, the eggs are green, and the ham was, well, like pinkish.
No. No. You're having a Berenstain Bears moment.
I mean, I've had several of them. You mean Berenstain Bears?
You mean...
Berenstain.
What's the name for that?
Mandela.
The Mandela effect. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, the Mandela effect.
Okay, I've had a false Mandela effect. the sweepstakes.
You mean real life?
Oh. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, I'm completely right about the sweepstakes.
I'm confused on what a false Mandela is. So, is it like a real and actual thing?
So the Mandela effect is when a whole lot of people
believe a thing
believe
was done
and
a certain
remember
way.
A particular thing that is false.
Well, that is apparently false.
Well, so that's kind of the problem
probably
with
false.
The world that we're in is the
I'll go with
powers that shouldn't
false.
Be
sure.
are currently
I say that
controlling
because,
the narrative.
I say that because I have a theory on the Mandela effect, and this is multiverse theory, right?
Okay.
That you as a human being don't necessarily exist in the same universe for the entire duration of your life.
So your perspective hopped from universe A to universe B when you went from Berenstain Bears to Berenstain Bears?
Yes. Like your memory isn't necessarily incorrect. It's just that the universe and you live in has changed.
Stranger things have happened.
Right. And it's because you've migrated from, you know, your whatever the previous universe was, where it was indeed spelled Bernstein, Berenstain, Barnstein, whatever the... the heck it was.
Close one.
Pretty close. Whatever the heck it was.
Whatever the beard it was.
Yeah, like, oh, that's nice. I gotta start right. using beard for a cuss word. Yeah, you get the beard out of here, right? Write the beard now, you mother bearder.
Right.
Yeah. All right, anyway.
God beard it.
It's just a theory that I have. I have no evidence to prove any of this. But
well, nobody has evidence to prove the multiverse theory. It's
well, then why isn't
theory.
He on the show?
Okay.
Yeah.
But
the answer is too much beard.
Is that a thing?
I mean,
okay.
No.
Okay. Just checking.
It's not.
It's so when you
it's
have
totally
too
false.
Much beard,
it's a Mandela
is when you
effect.
Get mistaken for the Flying Spaghetti Monster. Because your beard is all that they can see of you, is these giant noodly appendages.
We have really taken this on a tangent.
So what was your false Mandela effect? Let's get back to that.
Yeah, it was when they would show up with the checks. Ed McMahon absolutely showed up with giant checks.
Okay.
100%.
Okay.
Now,
the Publishers Clearinghouse.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes. Ed McMahon worked for Publishers Clearinghouse.
Okay.
And showed up at doorsteps with giant checks.
Okay.
That is not officially what happened anymore.
No, and in fact, it's provably false that he never showed up with any checks at anyone's doorstep.
But it is no longer officially true that that's what happened. That is officially one of the Mandela effects.
Right.
I don't think that's a false Mandela effect. That's absolutely a Mandela effect.
No, it's a false Mandela effect.
How is it a false Mandela
because effect? Because that actually happened.
So you're claiming that...
But you can't prove it.
Yeah.
I can, actually. There is video footage from the television broadcast
okay.
of him doing that for Publishers Clearing House.
Hold on. That's not a Mandela effect. That's gaslighting.
Okay.
That's like textbook gaslighting.
Okay.
We know the truth, right? We know he brought the big checks.
Uh-huh.
We have documentation. We have physical evidence that he brought the big checks. And then the government or whomever goes like, no, I didn't.
Well, I mean, as we've covered on this show, and you are keen to remind me, the Central Intelligence Agency does run Wikipedia. So there's that.
I only remind you because you used it against me once and then have subsequently used Wikipedia as like your source of choice.
Yeah, hey, read a website.
Hey,
yeah.
All I can prove by going to Wikipedia is that that is not the official truth.
Okay.
Might be the actual truth, like in the case of Ed McMahon and Publishers Clearing House.
So,
sorry, that's my best Ed McMahon laugh impersonation. That's why I keep doing it.
Here's Johnny. Would you accept a truth that the checks that he brought were novelty checks uncashable at the bank?
Giant cardboard novelty checks.
Right. Yes.
I would concede that that is probable.
Okay. So maybe that's the narrative.
I wouldn't go as far as to say that it's probable. It really depends on whether it had the routing number at the bottom.
Well, right. I only say that because the number of giant cardboard checks presented by Publishers Clearing House in their commercials were numerous, and they did not have, to my recollection, the routing number
right
at the bottom.
Ah.
And in Happy Gilmore, the movie, the fictional movie.
Yes.
Right, they made a big deal. Where he fights Bob Barker. Different guy entirely.
On the golf course.
But he, you know, part of the plot was that he, you know, even though finishing last place, he still gets a big novelty check.
Ah.
Like, that guy got his check today, I might mine, and, you know, he didn't win, but he still has the backseat full of novelty checks.
Hey, before we go on, I should probably let people know that this is Free Talk Live.
Is it?
Yes.
Demonstrably true, but we're going to call it something else.
They're definitely listening to a live radio call-in program where they could call in and talk about whatever's on their mind. They could be on topic or off topic. It doesn't matter.
I thought we were on gaslighting analysis tonight.
I mean, GAT?
Yeah.
GAT-T.
Right?
Ooh,
well, I mean, right now we're on Faster Than Light.
FTL
travel is always faster than light.
Yeah. Are we traveling along the mycelium network?
Ooh. My money is traveling on the mycelium network.
Mm-hmm. I asked Mark this question once for like faster than light travel. Let's say like you're on whatever theoretical vehicle,
okay,
and you're going like the speed of light,
and you turn your lights on,
or just like throw a baseball.
What happens?
Well, the baseball deal should travel. The lights maybe not so much because that's how fast light travels, right? But we know the baseball is already going as fast as the speed of light.
Right, and then throw it.
And then you
theory, the baseball should be traveling faster.
So here's your problem, though. Once you have reached the speed of light, no time passes.
Well, wait. Let's not narrow it down. Richie Rich has multiple problems.
Oh, right.
So
okay.
The problem with that analysis, once you have reached the speed of light, you will no longer experience time.
Okay.
Time will go on around you, but inside that craft that we have accelerated to the speed of light,
yep,
there is absolutely no time that passes.
Okay.
Until it slows down.
Okay. So is the speed and time go hand in hand then? Like, do you need one to calculate the other?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why it's a time-space continuum, because you really can't separate time from space, at least in any modern conception.
So what happens to the baseball if I throw it?
You can't throw it, because you're not experiencing time. You are a freeze frame. You are a photograph, not a movie.
All right, let's slow it down for our audience out there. I'm in a pickup truck. I'm in the back of it, illegally, of course. I'm not strapped in.
What are you, Mexican?
Seatbelt on or whatever. Oh. No, I'm a kid from the 80s.
Oh,
that's nationalist.
where this crap just sort of happened and like nobody cared. I'm in the back of a pickup truck, and the pickup truck is traveling at 60 miles an hour on a highway. And I stand up in the back of the pickup truck, And I know that I can throw a 60-mile-an-hour fastball.
That's
right?
True.
And
you
so
can
I'm,
scarcely hope not to.
And so I'm pointed towards, no, I mean just like by standing like in a baseball field, you know, without traveling in any way, shape, or form. I'm standing still. Mm-hmm. I'm at the pitcher's mound or whatever. And like I've been clocked. Like, that guy can throw a 60-mile-an-hour fastball.
Yep.
Right? So. Now, here I am in the back of this pickup truck, traveling forward at 60 miles an hour. I'm facing forward, same direction the truck is traveling, and I have a baseball in my hand, and I throw it forward at 60 miles an hour. Now, logic would tell me that that ball is now traveling at 120 miles an hour.
Mathematically, I think you'd be correct.
You've got
but
some issues with
that's not,
air resistance. But
it's not true. So what miles per hour is that ball traveling when I throw it?
Well, why is that not true?
So it's complicated, but okay, so if you take the air resistance so like you're standing at the pitcher's mound, you throw the ball, air resistance is a big part of that, right? But that's from standing still,
right?
So whatever part of that, so like you would have thrown that at like 300 miles an hour, but you had to get it through air.
Yep.
So that brought it from 300 down to 60,
right?
So now you have double that. So it's not
because the truck is already traveling at 60.
Right.
I've got double the air resistance at a minimum.
Right.
Right. Based on the fact that it's already traveling 60 miles an hour. Then I attempt to throw my 60 mile per hour fastball, but because I'm encountering double the air resistance, it's only going to go 30 miles an hour.
Yeah.
So is the ball now traveling 90 miles per hour?
Yes.
Well, you're overcomplicating the example,
okay.
I think, by adding
this
a variable.
This is a legit question that I've had for a long time.
But
so
you can simplify by going like, if this happened in a vacuum, right? If
it's in a vacuum, you don't have to worry about air resistance.
Right.
Right.
And so it simplifies the example.
Space truckers. Let's start there. Always a good idea.
Homeboys in outer space?
Right.
Okay.
Rednecks in space.
No.
So there you are in the back of your space pickup.
Okay.
And you are kind of limp-wristed. You can only throw a 60-mile-an-hour fastball. Well, no, you have noodly arms. You have weak noodly arms because in spite of there being no air resistance whatsoever,
what
you
if
can
I
only
up, though,
fire
though,
it at 60 miles an hour. Then it would, go 120 miles an hour.
Okay, right. If I'm in my space truck, and my space truck is going 60 miles an hour.
Right.
There's no wind resistance, because we're in space, so there's no wind, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I throw my 60-mile-per-hour fastball, again, no wind resistance.
Mm-hmm.
Is my fastball then traveling 120 miles per hour in space?
Yes.
Why does that stop when you get to the speed of light?
Bingo.
Well, because you are on space, and space is weird medium that does actually twist and squish.
I don't know you can be on space.
Yeah, it's kind of wacky like that. So, how does space itself move?
I don't think it does.
It does.
Well,
at least in all mainstream accepted versions of physics, space itself can in fact move. Well, it expands and it contracts.
This is why I like having you guys here.
If light travels at the speed of light, how long has the light been on?
From its perspective, zero.
Okay.
0 minutes, 0 hours, and 0 seconds.
Okay.
Yeah. From the perspective of light, nothing ever happens.
Well.
Okay.
Good job keeping the topic light.
Ah. Now, if you go faster than light, in theory, you'd actually go backward in time.
Right.
But
you wouldn't necessarily. You.
I mean, baseball goes backwards?
No.
If I throw it?
If I understand it correctly, and perhaps I'm wrong, I've been wrong before. This is how I understand it currently. If you travel at the speed of light and you leave point A, and you return to point A, traveling at the speed of light. When you return to point A, more time has passed at point A than has passed for you. So if you make a 30-minute round trip, 15 minutes at the speed of light, return 15 minutes at the speed of light, it's a 30-minute trip
for
you.
So here's what's wacky is that
time stops.
That, right, so that happens when you get on a jet. Seriously, so even at that slow of a speed...
Are you sure we're talking about the same thing? Because when you... So if you take a 15-minute faster-than-light trip and you return, you know, 15, so a total of a 30-minute faster-than-light trip.
By whose perspective?
From point, so exactly, you, that's the point.
If so you, that's the thing.
If you leave point A and come back to point A, you've only experienced a 30-minute trip, but everybody else at point A has experienced some time larger than that.
Days, weeks. It's worse than that. It's worse than that. So if you suddenly, like, okay, you're at point A, you go from the outside 15 minutes to point B at the speed of light, like everyone else experienced 15 minutes, you experienced no time whatsoever. So if you go from A to B back to A, everyone else will have experienced half an hour, and for you it will have been zero time because you were traveling at the speed of light.
What would you have experienced during that non-time phase?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing would have happened from your perspective.
Okay.
Like, it would, like, for all you know, you just did it.
Okay.
And we just got right back into place.
Can we give out the number in case there's a theoretical physicist listening?
There might be.
I mean, I guess.
Okay.
Do we know what the number is?
Yeah.
Peakless.
603-283-6160.
Very good. Well done. It's right there, too, if you ever need to.
I actually can't see it, but I know.
Okay.
Just in case I was tested.
It's posted on the Wikipedia, that's why. Well, like, he knows I'd find it.
Like, later on, if you needed to, I could probably rip this, what do you call it, a post-it note,
no,
like, off of the screen and then, like, hand it to you so that it's in a more clear view for you, but... You know, you'd have to, like, make some sort of, like, face and, like, a gimme gesture.
Just spray paint it on the blinds.
You know, I recently learned a post-it note-based cure for rattlesnake venom. Yeah, so if you get bit by a rattlesnake, you just write vaccine on a post-it note. Put the post-it note on the rattlesnake, and it can't hurt you.
I thought it was going to be a joke. It was. Still not impressed.
I thought it was going to be a funny joke. It was not. It was a joke. yeah. You are listening to Free Talk. You are listening to Free Talk Live. If you've never heard of this show, you can go to freetalklive.com, find out all about us, what we do, who we are, why we're here, etc. and so on. In the studio tonight, it's...
Pigless Mountaineer.
And Richie Rich.
And I am combobulated, but people call me Captain.
So all right, yeah.
Call me Captain.
Indeed, we do combobulated.
Yes. I'm not to be confused.
Can I call you Bob?
Not to be confused with combulator, one who does the combobulation. I am not he. I merely experience the effects of combobulation.
Combulator?
Combobulator.
Oh.
Yes.
I'll still call you Bob.
No, don't call
me. And his arch nemesis, discombobulator. The guy who mucks it all up.
As opposed to that combobulator.
Oh, I thought he bobulated to disco.
Recombobulator, the guy who puts it all back together.
Yes, that's my favorite one. I have
call them all Bob.
I have a
Bob. I have a
vocabulary word.
Disco Bob. That's Rebob.
But apparently, I didn't include it in my show prep because, well,
you had a vocabulary word.
I do. I still have one.
Okay.
It's just not on the tip of my tongue. It's going to take me. Oh, I don't know.
Does this lead into the portmanteau of the night?
Not necessarily.
No, there might not even be one tonight.
Oh, no.
I know.
This may, in fact, be a portmanteau.
Okay.
It's a sesquipedalian.
Okay. It is not.
Sesquipedalian. Well, I say it might
be
because...
Yeah.
Oh, because, okay. Like, it's two... There's two parts. The sesqui and the pedalian. Sesqui as a prefix has a certain meaning. Pedalia as a suffix has a certain meaning.
Mm-hmm.
All it means
but
is...
But there's no such thing as a sesqui, and there's no such thing as a pedalian.
Well, right, but that's like saying, like,
so can't
there's
be
no such thing as a gy, and there's no such thing as enormous, but yet ginormous is a portmanteau.
Right, because gigantic is a word, and that's the whole word that you've truncated with the gy.
Okay, hugantic.
It's truncated a portmanteau?
No.
Right? This is how you make portmanteaus. You have to truncate both words in order to make them sing.
No.
One new word.
No, you could.
You could, but generally speaking, you don't. Right? So anyway, sesquipedalian. Guess what that means?
Well, he already knows.
It's true.
What do you know?
I already am.
Oh.
I am highly sesquipedalian.
Yes?
I want to move away just in case it's contagious.
Yeah.
It is.
Oh. It is. If you hang out with me long enough, you too will love long words.
The first longest word in English language that I learned about, or at least in Webster's dictionary, was in, I don't know, man, sixth grade.
Was it anti-disestablishmentarianism?
No, longer than that.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Because those medical ones are ridiculous.
Like by at least double.
Ooh. Right?
Yeah. It's pneumonal ultramicroscopic silica volcano coniosis. The shortened version of that is coniosis, because not everybody can
wants to say that. Because they're not sesquipedalian enough.
Right, exactly. And so all it is...
I think I'm safe.
It's black lung, right? That's all it is. It's a disease of inhaling quartz dust, right? Mm. Miners would get this from, you know, working in the coal mine, right? You know, they would inhale so much of this crap that they would get this lung disease known as black lung. That's the street term for it. The shortened medical term is coniosis, the, of course, medical term is pneumono ultra microscopic silico volcano coniosis. And if you just break it down, they're easy enough words. Pneumono, okay, got that. It's like pneumonia, but pneumono ultra. Yeah, okay, everybody's got ultra. Microscopic, yep, that's a common word. Pneumono ultra microscopic silica, yep, okay, we know what silica is. Volcano, yep, everybody knows what volcano is. And then coniosis, nobody knows what coniosis is, but, you know, whatever. It's fine. It's the end of the word.
Well, your cones are not what they should be.
Yeah, they're
coniosis. I prefer the Newspeak versions. It's good, and double plus good, and plus good. No other words are needed.
As sesquipedalian as I am, I do like simple words, like black lung.
Right.
Right to the heart of it.
Straight to the point.
Like, shell shock. Like, not post-traumatic stress disorder.
Right, yeah, it's shell shock.
Shell shock.
Yeah.
Like, it's to the point, it's actual, like, human concepts.
Yeah.
And it completely explains what it is.
You are experiencing a disassociation with reality or time or both as a result of you being involved in wartime activity like being shelled by bombs.
What about the people who claim to have PTSD but have not been shelled by bombs? Like disgruntled high school seniors.
I mean,
it doesn't have to be from shelling
okay. In
order to be like the thing that you get from shelling.
Okay. As a survivor,
we might abandon that kind of military technology altogether and we will still have shell shock.
As a survivor of childhood abuse, I do have bouts of what I would call PTSD.
But is it shell shock?
Right. I don't know. Mm. It's certainly something that I will never get rid of.
Okay.
And so it shares common traits
right.
with shell shock, but I was never actually in, we'll call it a war.
Right.
There weren't armies, there weren't people in uniforms bombing and shooting and all that stuff. But like, I suffered physical abuse in the same way a captured enemy might suffer physical abuse in time of war.
Yeah.
Right. So physical, mental, sexual, you name it.
I might be suggesting the necessity for both terms.
So I have a problem with post-traumatic stress disorder.
Go ahead.
It implies the idea that there is one way to get a disorder from after trauma.
Okay.
And that's just not true. Trauma can cause a myriad of disorders that manifest in an equal...
Sure.
No, he just used a myriad
correctly
instead of myriad. Yeah. Like some people use it, and I say it's incorrect. English claims that saying, he experienced myriad symptoms. They claim that that's correct. Like, I just don't hear it. Like, when I can't say, oh yeah, I have myriad choices to choose from. No, I say I have a myriad of choices to choose from. It's a stickler for me.
And there are a plethora of manifestations.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah, or plethora, depending on how you want to pronounce it. You know,
no.
Tomato. Potato. Clamato.
Okay. Okay, you got the thing.
603-283-6160 is the phone number. If you'd like to join us, it's the Saturday night edition of Free Talk Live. More is coming up.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, silverlungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
You USA News update. The 40-year-old firearms instructor Robert Card, suspected of killing 18 people Wednesday at two businesses in Maine, was found dead Friday. Mike Soschuk, the commissioner of the Maine Department of Safety, confirmed the identification of all the shooting victims as well. Among them, the youngest was 14 years old, while the oldest was 76. Card is accused of perpetrating a deadly attack, resulting in the loss of those 18 lives and injuries to 13 individuals in a bowling alley and a bar in Lewiston, Maine. Fresh explosions have been reported in Gaza following Israeli forces' execution of another ground operation against Hamas. Israel has stated that they employed troops, fighter jets, drones, and armored vehicles to target Hamas installations. This development comes amid increasing speculation about a potential larger-scale ground incursion into the Hamas-controlled territory. Skip Kelly, USA News.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@GCNlive.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Back now. We do show. We talk radio. We microphone speak.
What happened to us liking half-meter long words?
Is there a word for that?
Sesquipedalian.
No. That
means a foot and a half long.
That's a foot and a half, not a half meter.
Close enough.
What's a half meter?
I mean,
it's about a foot and a half.
Oh.
What if I draw my line?
How long is a meter?
What?
How long is a meter?
100 centimeters.
About 3 feet.
Compared to a yardstick?
Pretty close.
Pretty close.
Yardstick? Sorry, I got to say it like I'm from New England. Yardstick.
I have it yet.
Not yardstick, but
it's
yardstick.
It's close enough for Americans, and that's our audience.
Americans. Audience.
The Europeans might get mad at us for the equation.
Dude,
over
like,
there.
I still remember the like push for the metric system. Like, in school, like, the teachers were all like, okay, well, today we're going to teach the metric system because the United States is going to flip a switch at some point, and they've set a date, and we don't know when it is yet, but there's a date coming, and you need to know this because you won't be able to measure things in the usual way. Your ruler will be gone, your yardstick will be gone, your tape measure will be useless, you'll have to use the other side of it because we're going to learn the metric system. And so they taught us the metric system, and then we never used it.
People should verify this on the Wikipedia, but I have read on the internet that the reason...
Oh, it must be true.
That the reason the Americans don't use the metric system is pirates.
Pirates?
Pirates.
Like Captain Jack Sparrow, or...
Like the Europeans sent over the official weights and measures for, like, the kilogram and the meter.
Yep.
And that boat was robbed by pirates.
Number one, it would be something like that. Number two, if that is the official history, I don't trust it.
Okay.
Now...
It's still funny.
I hope it's true.
It is.
As a person who
gaslighting you?
I don't know.
As a person who has always sort of rebelled against, well, I mean, many things, right? But, like, generally, that's been my persona for as long as I can remember. I'm just like, no, screw that. I don't want to be that.
Right?
I've rebelled against many things. I will say that at least amongst the population of human beings in Western culture, let's just say the United States, for the sake of argument, that if you do drugs, you certainly have used the metric system.
Or if you like firearms.
Or if you like firearms. Right, yes.
Which is why Instagram should, in fact, be a
cocaine vending machine.
Right.
Yeah, instead of a social media thing. Like if words meant what they meant, right, what they're supposed to mean, then, like, things would be a lot different. But
you instantly get a gram.
Of something.
A portmanteau.
Yes, Instagram. But no, it's not that way, and this is the world we live in.
So the exception there, though, pot was always in ounces. I mean, eighth was the standard measure for a single-serving usage.
But also, like, a dime bag is like a gram now, right?
And it's I thought that was the price.
And it's not $10.
Oh. Yeah, dime bag was what you could get for $10.
Right. And it has varied over time. Right, yes, exactly.
You could be using imperial measurements to make your dime bag.
I used to think that a quarter ounce of weed, right, I didn't know that the word ounce was involved.
And like, right. Okay.
Man, I got to go get a quarter. I got $25. Can I get a quarter? Right? And I could, because that's how much a quarter cost when I was growing up. They're much more expensive now. But, you know, that's why I thought it was a quarter, because it was $25. I'm like, oh, that's a slang term. But then, no, one day all of a sudden I tried to buy a quarter, and it was $50. And I'm like, but
you can't sell a quarter for $50.
But I only have half of that, you know. And they're like, sorry, it's the price. And
we're going,
like,
to cut it.
Well, can I get half of that? Right?
You want 2/8?
So, yeah.
2 bits quarter.
Anyway, it is Free Talk Live. The telephone number is 603-283-6160. In the studio, it's myself, the captain.
Pickles Mountaineer.
And Richie Rich.
Let's go to this guy calling from somewhere. You're on Free Talk Live.
I'm this guy calling from somewhere.
You are.
I'm Dave Ridley in New Hampshire.
You better be.
It's Dave Ridley in New Hampshire. Sorry, yeah.
You screened this call and everything.
I totally did. I was just being vague.
Oh.
We wanted to hear you introduce yourself.
You remember that incident in 2018 when Keene State College kicked me out of a public government meeting?
Vaguely.
They wouldn't let me in in the first place, right? They called the cops on me for being there asking questions.
Basically. I was watching a lot more Ridley reports on YouTube at that time, so I probably seen it.
I was going to say no called, when you said 2018, but go ahead. I don't remember any incidents in 2018.
Well, let them talk, man. Jesus.
I think it was called the City College Committee or the College City Committee, something like that.
Totally different committee.
Different committee. Sorry, my bad.
It was a liaison between the city of Keene and the college that happens sometimes on college campus. So anyway, so that was bad. And since then, I've kind of been on their case. And the thing I've been following up on over the last couple of years is the other censorship that they're doing. So the other thing that they do is they ban students from filming their own disciplinary hearings.
Okay.
Wait, does that mean a student can film a fellow student's disciplinary hearing?
I don't think anyone's allowed in there, basically, except for, like, it's very restricted as to who's allowed in. It's not nobody.
Well, I believe we know that the best justice happens in the dark. You know, star chambers of unaccountability is how you get, you know, the right thing.
Just show up in your Steve Irwin costume and call it a kangaroo court.
I think that my understanding is that reporters are banned from these hearings. So
don't tempt him. You will get a kangaroo costume.
I've questioned the college president about this on the radio, and then I went to try to find her while I was out and about earlier this month. I just went to her office to see if I could ask her about it. But she was gone and there was no one in there. And then, I found out that they were going to have a speech that was going to be given. The speech is called, quote unquote, Jews in a Non-Jewish World by some lady I've never heard of.
Probably Jewish.
And so.
What makes you think that?
Because they're the only ones allowed to talk about Jews in a non-Jewish world.
I was reprimanded a couple of weeks ago for calling them Jews. People said they don't call themselves that, and clearly they do.
They're called Jewish people now.
She just said Jews are a non-Jew world.
You can't call them colored people anymore either.
Jews aren't colored.
They're
different people.
Or are they?
Sephardic ones actually are.
Sephardic?
Yeah.
That has the word fart in it.
Thank you for picking up the pertinent detail.
Sorry, Dave.
Go ahead, Ridley.
I went to the college bureaucracy, which was putting on this speech, and I just walked in on it. Weeks before the speech, I just walked in there. They were actually really nice. I just walked in the first office I saw and said, "Hey, what's this with you guys sponsoring a speech where you're gonna ban cameras?" And not only that, look here. It says you're gonna ban coats too. What's going on?
Oh, you called in about this before.
Happening
in the fall question, where people might be wearing coats because it gets chilly.
The question that Ian had was, "Well, are you going to go to the speech?" And I didn't know. Well, I went to the speech, I didn't go inside. What I did was I just went to the periphery, and there were two police officers. I think probably 45 minutes before the speech was even supposed to start. And again, This is not a person anyone's really ever heard of. With very rare exceptions, no one's ever heard of this guy, this lady. So there were already police, and they had a sign up that said no videography. However, no one lost their minds when I went and videotaped all around the periphery, and I asked questions of, anyone I could get in front of the camera. I was asking them, "So why are you banning videography in there? Why are you banning coats in there?" Strangely enough, everyone was really nice and answered my questions.
Do you feel an obligation to follow the rules when you go do this activism?
No, but I tend to be a peripherist, right? Like, I'm not the guy that charges the machine gun nest. I'm the engineer who's working behind the lines trying to repair the tank.
Understood. I want to assume that the security at Keene State College is much less aggressive than the security at, like, the federal courthouse, right? And if you had a pen cam surreptitiously placed in your lapel, right, or those new Ray-Ban glasses with the camera in it.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. That no one's really going to stop you, and then you could record, could post. That who knows who it is, especially if you do it as a group and everyone's got shots from multiple angles. Well, it couldn't have been just me because clearly this is a different shot than the one you're accusing me of, and it would circumvent the entire rule structure if you don't believe in following rules.
That is one way to get around this kind of censorship. But what did they say was their reason for it?
Well,
safety.
One lady, I can't remember, she may not have been speaking for the university. This may have been just a lady who was going to watch the speech. She was saying we have to protect her because people don't like Jewish people.
Okay.
Wow. She said it's not wrong.
I understand why you don't want them to shoot a Jewish person, but not with a camera.
Well, by the way, bear in mind, this was before the Hamas incident, right? So can you imagine the number of police that would have been there if this had been something that had happened 3 days ago?
How long ago did this happen?
This is October 3rd.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Hey, I believe in shooting everyone with cameras when they're in public.
Yeah, you want anyway, a surveillance least, society? What is wrong with you?
Yeah, geez.
You're allowed to. Don't go in public if you don't expect to be surveilled.
There was a time, though.
Peek was not the statist over here.
Yeah, there was a time, though, when you could expect to go out in public without being surveilled, at least by camera. Right? There might be some guy standing on the corner like, "Oh, there goes a guy with like a beard, and there goes a lady with a red dress." And they're like, perhaps there was some surveillance going on. but there just weren't cameras everywhere like there are today.
Yeah, that's because they were prohibitively expensive. No one walked around with a camera in their pocket 100% of the time.
Go ahead, really.
I tried to walk into the room where the speech was going to happen, and I was immediately intercepted by a very nice middle-aged lady who was volunteering for the speech. And you know, again, considering what I've seen, the misbehavior I've seen in the past at Keene State College, it's all an improvement, actually, because at least they're doing the censorship politely now. And I was also able to talk to one of the cops as he was walking by about the Crypto 6 raid.
Yep.
And I asked him if he'd been there that day, because there were some Keene Police Department
there
that,
were.
You know, during these they were collaborators with
like,
the feds on
like
the crazy
five
day.
To seven of them.
And I asked him if he was one of the collaborators, basically, and he said he hadn't been there. I said, well, would you have gone if you'd been told to? He said yes.
Well, of course, so, he'd been told to.
I mean, it's all well and good to call it censorship, fine, but if this particular speaker was, like, renting out the venue for her particular speech,
mm-hmm.
and these were, like, the rules per her contract with the venue, would it still be censorship?
No.
Not if it was a private venue, but this is state
right.
property.
Right.
Well, it's public property, but if it's being rented out by a private party.
Sorry, it's public property.
Okay.
End of conversation.
Because it's public property supersedes the private agreement.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, in fact, in a sense, it's almost worse. It's the government is making profit off their public property and preventing you from witnessing what's happening with your camera.
Yeah, that
and
sounds like crap that I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyhow, nice to see them at least moving slightly in the right direction. The demeanor was great. It's a start.
Well, so if you were vending at Pumpkin Fest, right, you paid the city or whatever for use of that stall,
mm-hmm.
and then somebody just showed up and said, like, well, it's public property. I'm just going to stand here. You don't think that would invite a conflict?
I don't know.
For someone to stand at Pumpkin Fest?
Well, or any event, right? They, okay. they shut down whatever for whatever event. It's public property, but there's going to be vendors there because, hey, I'm selling my pumpkin merchandise. Right? Like, that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Those things occur.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so they've got like their designated vendor area
mm-hmm.
for them to set up their table and their booth or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, and someone stands in
and,
your
and someone just
booth area.
Before you got set up, someone just goes like, okay, I'm just going to set up my stuff over here.
So
or stands there.
Imagine a county fair, right? The county fairgrounds, generally speaking, are public property because they're owned by the county.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. And so they lease out space to, you know, the carnival, to the vendors, to the games, you know, all that kind of a stuff. And you get, you know, X amount of, you know, square feet to put your joint or your thing on. Somebody shows up and is like, well, it's public property. I'm just mm-hmm. going to stand here even though you paid for
well,
the spot.
So what is generally assumed to be acceptable is that the so-called public property that we are owning jointly
mm-hmm.
is operated through this very specific means that is our agreed political system.
Mm-hmm.
So whichever set of rules and laws and statutes and all of that governs that is what is to be done with that public property.
How is that different from renting out the venue at Keene State College?
Come again?
How is that circumstance different than a speaker renting out the venue at Keene State College to give her speech?
Right, so the county fair example, how is that different than somebody renting, you know, a pavilion at Keene State College?
Mm. Well, so in theory, the idea of having a college is to propagate discourse and ideas.
Okay.
So it is a defiance of the very spirit of the thing to remove the ability to spread information from a college.
That's if the college was, like, putting on the speech.
But right? That being the case,
renting,
I mean,
the venue.
What's generally agreed upon is that whatever arbitrary rules they have decided through this structure are the rules that get enforced.
Okay.
Now, the problem is you run into the issue of, like, well, what if I want to use your highway for my protest right. instead of your driving?
It's totally an unfair situation because the state controls part of the agreement. Whereas if it was a completely private agreement, it would be totally black and white.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, this is
easily
part of
understandable by all.
It's part of the tragedy of the commons.
Yeah. No, I get it. I don't like them, you know, tearing off homeless encampments either, because it's on public property.
Right.
Right. They've homesteaded that little piece of property. They got there first. They have equal access and use to it as anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And by virtue of being there first, this is how they've chosen to use it. Well, they should not be removed.
Well, and this also indicates another problem. So, like, what is the proper ownership of something that's been stolen? So, like, okay, if I steal your $20, right, and then someone steals that $20 from me, like, they can't, you know, be aggressing against me because it's not my rightful property.
Right.
But now they have your $20.
I'm still going to take it out of your butt.
Yeah, that's kind of the issue there. So with all government property, this is all stolen property. The government owes us more than it can ever possibly repay.
I just hope that's not where he keeps his money.
But if you then steal from the government,
I'm going in after it. $20 is $20.
A better analogy would have been like, let's say I stole your guitar, and then I sold it to this other guy over here, right? And you discover that, you know, this other guy over here now has it.
Mm.
But it's you still believe it's yours, is it?
Yes.
All right, so yeah. How do you go about reobtaining your property?
Once you can prove that that is your guitar, your rightful property,
yeah.
Now he has to give that to you because it was never his. Now, the person who sold it to him owes him whatever money he gave him.
So the onus is on the person who purchased the stolen guitar
to make sure that it wasn't stolen.
To seek some sort of compensation for having purchased, perhaps unbeknownst to him, from the thief. Right.
Right.
So the justice, if you will, in this situation, free market justice, works sort of backwards, linearly.
Right. The thief is going to get his
ass kicked twice. The thief owes him the money.
Right.
And owes both of you for your trouble having to go through this.
Right. So he owes... ultimately, he owes you a guitar. Let's say the guitar was damaged or something like that along the way, right? And you get the guitar back, but now it's not in as good a shape or whatever it was before.
Owes you for damages.
So not only does the OG thief owe you for the guitar and your, we'll say, pain and suffering, you know, time lost, whatever it is.
Right.
But then he also owes the guy whom purchased the stolen guitar because he sold them an illegitimate good.
Right.
Okay. Ridley? Ridley.
You've confused him to silence.
Ridley.
Do his jingle. Maybe he'll respond to the jingle.
Someone launched him into space.
Somebody, what is
it happens to Ridley.
ReadleyReport.com.
ReadleyReport.com. All right.
Nope. All right.
Find out more about Mr. Ridley over at ReadleyReport.com. Thank you for the call, sir. Maybe he's got a bad connection.
You guys bored him to death.
So
I didn't hear snoring, so I think we're safe.
So
I said death, not sleep.
Like, we brought up censorship, and it is getting pretty ridiculous at this point. So
Dr.
Rand Paul put up a part of a Senate hearing where he, a doctor, was questioning the narrative put forth by these epidemiologists, and YouTube took down the video of a Senate hearing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I remember when that was unthinkable.
Yeah, this is misinformation. This is malinformation. Well, there's so many different, like, prefixes now for information. Misinformation, malinformation, non-information.
It's right? Just that they used to respect the senator's ability to lie to people.
Here's the thing about freedom of speech. Let everybody say and publish whatever the heck they want, and let everybody make up their own minds.
Yeah.
Right.
It is the only solution.
I have this unique ability to read and comprehend, which most people do.
The problem is it's unique.
Well,
the general public does not share that.
Only because it's been bred out of them. And by bred, I mean brainwashed.
Yeah.
Well, they would rather you be predictable than they know what's really going on.
Yeah.
And that's the damnable truth of it.
And that is a scientific fact.
Well,
science is settled.
Never.
If it were science, it wouldn't be settled.
Right, yes, exactly.
Until we go the speed of light and I get to throw a baseball, science is not settled.
The whole point of science was not trusting experts.
Okay, look, call me weird if you want, but I don't...
Weird.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
I don't want to be in a space truck going the speed of light and throw a baseball. What I want to do is I want to be in a space truck going the speed of light and then activate my lightsaber. Because it's got the word light in it.
If it goes backwards, it's going to, like, burn your arm off.
Well, hopefully you've, you know, adjusted for this particular outcome and you're not holding it in such a way that it's going to, you know, saber you in half or something.
Not if it's the first time and you're conducting an experiment.
So what I thought was weird is that if you, you know, calibrated with air resistance and all of that to throw your fastball at exactly 60 miles an hour in the opposite direction of the truck, you could get the ball to stand still.
They did that on Mythbusters.
And did they do it or did they bust a myth?
No, they confirmed that the ball will in fact stand still.
Really?
Like yeah. they had like, you know, the pitching machine bolted to the back of a Tacoma.
Nice.
And they drove 60 miles an hour, they calibrated so it goes 60, and they got the frame on the side and they go poof and the ball just stops right there
and falls.
And the truck drives away and the ball
and
falls.
The ball just
yeah.
Nothing happens.
Yep. Wow.
I mean the ball falls.
Right.
Gravity. Well, right, but the ball doesn't travel at all.
Right, no.
It just because it's the two opposing what's the word I'm looking for?
Forces.
Forces. The forces of travel are preventing it from going anywhere because you're doing opposite things at the same time.
Yep.
Right. Now, it might be like an inch off here or there because the wind resistance or whatever, but it proves the concept without putting that whole setup in a vacuum.
You mentioned Toyota Tacoma.
I just have a thing for tacos.
Yeah, me too. Okay. They are one of the best vehicles ever made.
I really want like a 2014.
Ooh,
because that's the last year they had just a single cab.
Yeah,
and I don't need any of this four door nonsense.
Yeah,
the 3.5 foot bed.
I like the 96, 97, 98. It could be my preference. Would be I'd like to find one rust free with under 300,000 miles on it.
Yeah,
you know, of 96, 97, 98 variety. I will take either a Tacoma or a 4Runner.
Okay.
Because they're the exact same truck.
All right.
The difference between those two trucks in those years was just one of them had, like, the grocery getter SUV body style. The other one had the truck bed.
And I'll say this as we wrap up here. The reason trucks have gotten big is government meddling and government fuel economy regulations.
True. Very true.
603-283-6160 is the phone number. If you know anything about government regulating pickup trucks, give us a call or call us for whatever's on your mind. It's Free Talk Live. Hour number two is next.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.